Test. 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 Testing. Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio. A multimedia radio show. A website. An idea. A suggestion. An action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk. The urban industrialized society that you live within is systematically destroying the environment. The Mechanopolis is destroying the planet. You have been psychologically programmed to believe that this is not happening. Pockets of resistance have been weeded out and crushed.
Turning queer, what are you all afraid of? I've traveled far to find a better land, to find a better home. I can just call my own. I can just call my own. I fled with my life on a minefield track. Now I have nothing but the shirt on my back. Under cover of night, pulled away from the shore, the harbor of lights, I can't see anymore. I can't see anymore. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. My journey's been long, so long I've lost time. Sometimes I do feel I'm losing my mind. By ocean and land, they lock down all the doors, patrol down the fences. I've seen this before. I've seen this before. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Ministers fight and gamble on lies. I'm dying inside. I pray for my time. When I'm a free man to go where I may, or I stay in one place. Turn me away. Don't turn me away. So I write to you with sadness, my friend, 'cause now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again. Now this is Christmas, Christmas Island again.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Anarchy Show. You're on 4ZZZ. My name is Linda and Peter is joining me today as well. Looking very much in the festive holiday season spirit. And starting off today's show, we heard a song from The Basics called The Lucky Country, which I've been playing on repeat in my car, driving around and at home as well. It's such a great message. We don't know how lucky we are. And that's true of a lot of Australians. Although things are going to come and hit home soon with Scott Morrison, the Minister formerly the Minister for Refugees, or the Minister Against Refugees, as the Immigration Minister is now the Social Services Minister and going to be tackling. You couldn't even write this stuff as a joke. It was actually on the front page of the Herald Scum, Stop the Bludgers. It was Stop the Boats, no, it's Stop the Bludgers. And a lot of people think that it won't be them if they're on Social Security pensioners. It won't be them, it'll be those other people who wrought the system. But unfortunately, to a neoliberal government like the Liberal Party, everyone is rotting the system, or actually the system is what is broken, and that there shouldn't be welfare. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to tackle something else which is close to my heart, and it is pacifism. And I've got Dr. Stephen Best, who's a professor from the University of Texas, and he is taking aim at pacifists. He's an animal rights activist and author, and he has recently written a book which is called Total Liberation Revolution for the 21st Century. And this is a talk, I've been sitting on it for a while. He did this back in 2012, and it's called The Paralysis of Pacifism. So we'll be listening to that one soon. But Peter, have you got a poem for us?
Sorry, Linda, I've got my glasses, so...
I thought you could read it. Should I read it?
Oh, well, I don't know. You haven't read it before, so you might have trouble with it if you wanted to.
I'll be perfect.
Will you?
Oh, all right. Yes. Oh, he's put it away. Okay, let's go.
The second part of a poem by Allen Ginsberg. Howl, people might have heard of that. He was a contemporary of William Burroughs and Jack Kerouac, and in the 60s, a beat poet, but he had an academic position. He was like an official poet. And Howl, it begins, I think the first line is there, isn't it, Linda? I wrote it in.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Yes, but then the second part...
What sphinx of cement and aluminium bashed open their skull and ate up their brains and imagination? Moloch, solitude, filth, ugliness, ash cans and unobtainable dollars. Children screaming under the stairways. Boys sobbing in armies. Old men weeping in parks. Moloch, Moloch, nightmare of Moloch, Moloch, the loveless. Mental Moloch, Moloch, the heavy judger of men. Moloch, the incomprehensible prison. Moloch, the crossbone, soulless jailhouse and congress of sorrows. Moloch, whose buildings are judgment. Moloch, the vast stone of war. Moloch, the stunned governments. Should I keep going?
Well, I mean, you know, it is quite heavy. If you wanted to. But it's obviously, I think, pretty obviously a criticism of the military-industrial complex. Moloch was a god in the Middle East, associated with Mammon, too. People might have heard of Mammon, the god of material wealth. Well, Moloch was, obviously a power figure in the Middle East, and he's making a reference to that. And I think when you remember the context, Vietnam, you know, the civil rights movement, that's what he was criticizing. And it's very topical today. I mean, I think we can see that Moloch is alive and well in the contemporary setting. But I'm interested to hear about this criticism, pacifism, Linda. I thought it was going to be some sort of, you know, pro-pacifist thing, as we've
not coming,
so much.
Not coming from me.
No. But I thought there was some revival of it. I mean, it is still, you know, obviously around. I can remember the Catholic workers in the 80s, and some of them are still around, radical pacifists. It's good to see that there is some still criticism of that position.
Well, if you take the direct meaning of pacifism, which is that you do not fight back at all, even if you're attacked, you shouldn't attack. I was thinking about it today, people like Kieran O'Reilly, the Catholic worker, the Ploughshares movement, they do, I mean...
Well, that's like, they're not pacifistic. They're not... how to describe it? Yeah, they don't just give up and wait to die to go to heaven. They are, you know, putting their bodies on the line, but they're not, yeah, they're not physically fighting. Yeah. They'll just lie there, go limp.
But they do...
fight.
Property destruction and sabotage. And yeah. That's something that Dr. Stephen Best talks about, mm-hmm. is that the animal rights movement, and I guess many movements today... Mm. Don't even fight back.
No, it's... Well, there's a lot of stuff now about, like, you know, internet protesting and, you know...
Clicktivism.
Taking a selfie of you holding a placard and...
Yeah. With your selfie stick.
Well, yes.
Which is a thing, apparently.
And that ice thing, pour water over yourself is...
Ice bucket. Yes. Well, we're going to go to a song first before we go into the first part of Dr. Stephen Best. This is called Mining Man and it's by The Lurkers.
In the morning they will come, silhouette in the rising sun. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. With a mining company, nothing ever comes for free. So lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Mining man, we're gonna take you down. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Gonna run that mining man out of town. Lock the gate. From the Liverpool plains to St. Peter's back lanes. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Mind and man, we're gonna take you down. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Gonna run that mind and man out of town. Lock the gate, lock the gate. Keep that gas in the ground, coal seam gas in the ground. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. Lock the gate, lock the gate.
The Lurkers and Mining Man. Lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. And that also relates to what we're talking about with Dr. Stephen Best and the paralysis of pacifism, because even with the lock the gate actions and the action to stop the Maules Creek mine, the Whitehaven mine down near Boggabri, there've been people doing direct action, as in locking on to things, but there was some suggestion once that someone had done some sabotage, and everyone came out and said, "Oh, whoa, no, we wouldn't do anything like that," and decried it. Even though sabotage, as you'll hear from Stephen Best, is considered by some people, including myself, property destruction is not violence. And if it works, maybe you should do it. Stephen Best is an American animal rights advocate, author, and associate professor of philosophy at the University of Texas at El Paso. A writer for the Chronicle of Higher Education described him in 2005 as being one of the leading scholarly voices on animal rights. Best is co-founder of the Institute of Critical Animal Studies, formerly known as the Center for Animal Liberation Affairs. His academic interests are continental philosophy, postmodernism, and environmental philosophy. He is known for his post-structuralist notions of revolution based equally in animal rights and sexual liberation. He is the editor with Anthony J. Nocella of Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals, which has a foreword by Ward Churchill, who wrote a good book called Pacifism as Pathology, but also is apparently a wife beater, so... The companion volume of Revolutionary Environmentalism, Igniting a Revolution, Voices in Defense of the Earth. And his most recent book is called Total Liberation, Revolution for the 21st Century. In 2004, he co-founded the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, which acts as a media office for a number of animal rights groups, including the Animal Liberation Front. And in this segment, this is the beginning of his talk where he is speaking about the problems with pacifists, which, as we mentioned, one of them is that they don't do anything, or animal rights or movements these days, people don't want to break the law or do anything wrong, but they want to protest.
They falsify history. They lie. If you look at the so-called victory that Gandhi won for independence against the British state, oh my God, Gandhi did it all by himself. Gandhi, the hero, the one man who changed history. Of course, thousands of people followed him, but it was Gandhi's brilliant mind that won this victory. Well, let me tell you something that the pacifists won't tell you, and the history books typically don't. There were all kinds of forces operating in the political scene in India. And many of these forces were violent. They used guns and they used bombs, and they gave the British a little extra emphasis, another reason to get the hell out of India. Or look at the situation in the United States in the middle 1960s. Martin Luther King, the hero, did it all by himself. If it weren't for Martin Luther King, we would not have had the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Let me tell you something about that. A lot of Black America didn't even know who Martin Luther King was, but they knew who Malcolm X was, they knew who the Black Panthers were, and they knew what urban riots were. When Malcolm X said, "You have the right to defend yourself against the police, against their violence, with violence," and when the Black Panthers armed themselves with rifles, and when angry Blacks all throughout California and other places set cities on fire, that had an impact on social change. Martin Luther King would never have been able to rise above as the respectable force he was without Malcolm X and without the Black Panthers and without the rioters. One more example, Vietnam. The reason why the US lost the Vietnam War, the reason why we left Vietnam, is because the most powerful military machine in the world got its ass kicked by peasants with guns. We lost that war on the battlefield. Peasants defeated the mightiest army in the world. It had nothing to do with hippies chanting in the streets. We suffered a military defeat. It had nothing to do with passive nonviolent resistance. And I could give you many such examples that history is complex and pacifists have made it simple. They read it the way that they want you to understand it. They take out all the historical actors that were responsible for change, who weren't pacifists, to make only pacifists responsible for change. Now, let's talk about the definition of violence. All the time, I hear about myself, I hear about people who share my beliefs. You are pro-violent. I'm not pro-violent. I don't fetishize violence. I don't like to see violence. I don't like to see people hurt. I certainly don't like to see animals hurt. It's the difference, you see, between being pro-choice in the anti-abortion debate, pro-choice, and pro-abortion. Who the hell is pro-abortion? More abortion, more abortion, more abortion. I'm for abortion. No, we're for choice. I am not for violence. I am for defending the innocent when violence is the only means that we have to defend the innocent. Now, there is a very broad definition of violence that really bothers me. And I want you to understand that when we're talking about the debate over violence in the animal rights movement, we are talking almost always about one thing. Nobody's talking about guns and weapons. Nobody's talking about bombs and explosives. We are talking about sabotage or property destruction. This movement has almost never used violence against anyone, anytime. And given the extent of the animal holocaust, the restraint this movement has shown to being nonviolent is absolutely amazing. In other words, we are not using violence in the literal sense of the term. The debate is over sabotage and the Animal Liberation Front tactics. Now, you know about the Animal Liberation Front. They emerged in England in 1974. And they are committed to breaking into laboratories and freeing animals from cages. And they are committed to using property destruction against oppressors to weaken them economically. And the pacifists say this is violence. Really? This is violence? If I throw a brick through a window, that's violence? You're really stretching the definition of violence to condemn that as violence. But when you cut the neck of a pig, that is violence. So what we're really talking about here in the debate of violence is whether sabotage is an acceptable tactic or not. And to call the destruction of things, of windows, of doors, of equipment, violence to defend animals, this is the Stockholm Syndrome. We have internalized the language and the thinking of the oppressors. This is absolutely ridiculous. So I insist on using violence in a very narrow and literal sense of the term. To be violent is to intentionally cause physical injury to someone without just cause. And that's the only definition of violence that I will accept as legitimate and plausible. You see the consequences of calling sabotage violence or calling it terrorism, eco-terrorism? You lose all sense of proportion. You lose all sense of distinction. To break a window and to break a head is the same thing. They're both violence for the pacifist. And they're both forms of terrorism. It's like breaking into a laboratory and 9/11 are the same thing. So this trivializes the real violence of what is happening to the animals. Even the most basic distinctions we could make, they don't bother to make. Between, for instance, offensive or aggressive violence, whereby I intentionally want to hurt someone who is innocent, or defensive violence, where I use violence if I have to protect the innocent when no other means is available. But that's not really violence anyway, is it? It's called self-defense.
The whole group of people can come to an agreement, and consensus is one of the fundamental tenets of anarchism. So if you're interested in anarchism, get along to that. It's actually, it says 5 and then it says 7. So maybe, I don't know, take a pick. Go in the middle. I think more towards 7 is a more reasonable amount. I don't know, obviously they couldn't reach consensus on what time to have the meeting. So they've gone with both times. We're going to hear a song now to go out by The Coup. This is called Ghetto Manifesto. Thanks for listening. There's a good text by Peter Gelderloos called How Nonviolence Protects the State, which ties in well with that talk there by Dr. Stephen Best, who also has written a book which I'm yet to read, but I'll look into it more in the next week. And next Monday, talk about it a bit more. It's called Total Liberation Revolution for the 21st Century. And I'm reading a book at the moment about the beginnings of the Animal Liberation Front in America. And that's why I thought I'd play that today. Dr. Stephen Best talking about the paralysis of pacifism. It's 5 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is Autonomous Action Radio, the Anarchy Show, and a final community announcement. Tomorrow night at 69 Thomas Street, West End, at 7 o'clock, the Brisbane Solidarity Network are hosting a discussion on film night on the nuts and bolts of anti-authoritarian organising. What is consensus? Consensus is a process for group decision-making, and it's a democratic method by which the whole group of people can come to an agreement, and consensus is one of the fundamental tenets of anarchism. So if you're interested in anarchism, get along to that. It's actually, it says 5 and then it says 7. So maybe, I don't know, take a pick, go in the middle. I think more towards 7 is a more reasonable amount. I don't know, obviously they couldn't reach consensus on what time to have the meeting, so they've gone with both times. We're going to hear a song now to go out by The Coup. This is called Ghetto Manifesto. Thanks for listening. There's a good text by Peter Gelderloos called How Nonviolence Protects the State, which ties in well with that talk there by Dr. Stephen Best, who also has written a book which I'm yet to read, but I'll look into it more in the next week. And next Monday, talk about it a bit more. It's called Total Liberation Revolution for the 21st Century. And I'm reading a book at the moment about the beginnings of the Animal Liberation Front in America. And that's why I thought I'd play that today. Snog there with Justified Homicide. And that ties in nicely with, kind of, with what we're talking about today, about the paralysis of pacifism and then the need to use what is called violence at certain times if you want to be effective in your activism or even just breaking the law. Some people don't want to break the law. The anonymous rally recently, the anti-police brutality rally, they were saying, like, we don't want to break the law, we're not going to let anyone break the law. And if you're not breaking the law and you're not actually resisting, what are you doing? You're just having a nice little walk in the street. It's 25 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're on Autonomous Action Radio, the Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. And we're going to hear now the second part of Dr. Stephen Best. And the music underneath is called Bang Bang, and it's by Dr. Dre from his Instrumentals album.
There are two kinds of arguments against violence in the animal rights movement. Let's distinguish between those. What I call the principled argument and the pragmatic argument. The principled argument says violence, the use of violence to protect animals is always wrong in principle because it's morally wrong. And the pragmatic argument against using violence to protect animals from exploiters says that violence is wrong because of the consequences of using violence. Specifically, it alienates the public, it gives us a bad image, it's never effective, and it's ultimately counterproductive. Okay, so you see those are two very different arguments. So let me quickly dispose of each one. I did a book called Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, you might have seen. And in this book was an essay by a very famous pacifist named Tom Reagan. And he titled his essay, How to Defend Violence. A very provocative essay for pacifists to write. Basically, he used the argument of just war. The just war argument says this: some wars are just, are legitimate, if, and you can use violence if it's the last means available to use. It's a whole theory, it's a political theory, just war theory. And to make this very simple, if violence is the last resort you have at self-protection or protecting the innocent, then it is legitimate. It's not your first option, that's not legitimate, only if it's your last option. Well, I have to ask, when do we know when it's a last option? Haven't we kind of got the point that there is a war going on against animals in the earth? But you see, what Tom Reagan did was he opened a door toward possibilities for legitimate use of violence, and then he said this: but really, there is never a legitimate excuse for using violence. Really, there's always some other alternative. Okay, so for instance, the rhinos and elephant there are being slaughtered by a mafia crime syndicate for their horns by very powerful organized crime syndicates. There's some other choice to stop this, to stop poaching, besides warfare? Because that's how it's being stopped. We have soldiers, we have armies fighting against poachers with guns. Okay, so that's Tom Reagan, that you can use violence in the last instance only, but there's never a last instance. There's always an alternative. And I suggest, such as in the case of South Africa, there are no alternatives. Now, quickly, another example for the principled argument against the use of violence. In his book, Animal Liberation, Peter Singer says, the only way we will win is by staying on the moral high road. He says, it is the force of our arguments, not the force of our bombs, that will allow us to win this war. First of all, who the hell is talking about bombs? Nobody. Second of all, the force of our arguments, I try to suggest, the force of our arguments is very limited. Our arguments are true, they're the best arguments in the world for anything, but they're still very weak against oppressors. Moreover, Singer is assuming a second very naive model that the pacifist argument is dependent upon. The pacifists say use education, and many will say use legislation. Go through the state, make laws to protect the animals. Use that second peaceful route available to us. Again, very naive. The state is controlled by corporations. This is so very clear from the Shack movement in the UK and the US. The corporations under attack by the animal liberation went to the state and said, come here, we want to talk to you. Make some laws right now to stop these animal liberationists. We're tired of this. They're hurting our profits. And the state said, yes, master, yes, master. Because as Marx taught us in the 19th century, the state is the legal arm of the ruling class. So we are not going to win the war through the peaceful tactics of education or legislation. Now, let me quickly go over the pragmatic argument against violence. I know it's hot in here tonight. This argument says we must not use violence. Again, what violence? Because the consequences alienate the public. They don't work, they're counterproductive. Every damn day, the Animal Liberation Front, the Earth Liberation Front is attacking corporate exploiters. Every day. How often do you see this in the media? How the hell is this going to alienate the public if they never hear about it? A tiny percentage of the actions are reported. Pretty hard to alienate the public when they're ignorant of the struggle, of the war that's being waged against animal exploiters. Second, this argument is deterministic. It suggests that the media reporting may not be double-coded. It may not somehow present these actions sympathetically. It assumes that everyone watching the television report will be turned off and alienated. But some people are turned on and excited. They go, oh my God, look at those brave activists. Why are they taking such extreme measures against these exploiters and corporations? The situation must be extreme. I admire these people. I want to do this too. Sometimes it happens this way. We know from people's stories that sometimes people are excited by these reports, not always alienated. And this is one of the biggest lies that pacifists tell over and over and over. That every time an animal is set free from a cage, that every time a research building is burnt down with no one harmed, they're always replaced. So it's ineffective. It always returns to normal. My answer to this, I have three answers to this. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Time after time after time, these exploiters are shut down. They don't return. They're gone, gone, gone forever. Animals are liberated that people don't even know are in prison. And perhaps a very famous example that you might be aware of is Britches the monkey. Remember that story? You can go on YouTube and look it up, Britches the monkey. She was kept in isolation in total darkness. Her eyes were sewn shut. They pumped into her head loud industrial sounds. Only the ALF knew that Britches was being tortured. And the ALF went in and got her out. And then you see pictures of Britches. And to see pictures of Britches in a tree with fellow monkeys free, with her eyes open and happy, is enough to set you to tears. And it's enough to make you violently mad against pacifists for these damn lies. Hundreds, not just Britches, hundreds of thousands of animals are free that will never be in prison again. So this is just a terrible, slanderous lie against the animal liberation movement.
Check this out.
Ranger.
You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ.
We don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest. Trees for the forest. We don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest. Look, for the forest. Nothing's for certain, that's for sure. You never know when they could call curtains on the whole show. You still gotta put your best foot forward. Focus on a goal, always head more growth work. Yeah. I'm living life on purpose in the current, grooving with it, so calm down, don't lose focus, this is crucial, listen, gotta duck beneath the surface if a tsunami is soon to hit, choose and move to new decisions, don't get frozen, lose your grip, it's do or die, time to prove your lack of ignorance by approving in your mind, folks in your community, regardless of alignment between you and them, let's agree to disagree, let your anger dissipate. Cause we don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest. Yeah, for the forest. We don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest.
Yo, dog, don't try to lie. You can't walk the line like you have a path. You gotta blaze your trail in life. You don't have a map, so watch out where your axe is at. Cause you don't have a raft, and you gon' sink unless you swim like a salmon. Fact, it ain't worth it at all to dodge a hurdle, you'll fall. Hop up over or break it like the Berlin Wall. You know growth is a burden, of course, but it's obvious that only hard work pays off. No days off from here on out. There's no doubt, there's no try. Do or do not, I know now. I'm so proud that the struggle is something to rise above of. The sky with dark clouds, a sign of a new thing coming. Feel me? We don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest. Yeah, we don't know what this life got set in store for us, but we set sail in a storm with assurance. Gotta move forward, cause you know we try to see the trees for the forest.
That was a new song there by a band called Mouth Sounds, Trees for the Forest, featuring Zach De La Ruta, who we've played some of his music before, kind of earth-based, Earth Liberation Front music. You're listening to The Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. My name is Linda, and today we're hearing a talk by Dr. Stephen Best, who's an animal liberationist, talking about pacifism, the paralysis of pacifism. And he's talking about the animal rights movement in particular, but this topic is relevant to all kind of resistance movements. And you'll see in America at the moment with the fight back against police brutality, there's also a debate going on about what tactics are best for people to use. This is the third part of that talk now.
Counterproductive? This is the most productive tactic this movement has ever developed. You want to look at counterproductive? You want examples of counterproductive actions? Okay. How about PETA with their naked girls? That's real productive, huh? How about the Humane Society of the United States, the RSPCA, with their humane meat? That's real productive. That's counterproductive. The ALF is not counterproductive. Mainstream tactics are counterproductive. They're collaborating with corporations. That is counterproductive. Okay, so now I'm going to conclude. I've said that pacifism of any kind is highly flawed for many reasons. It's dogmatic, it allows for no exceptions. It likes simplicity. Exceptions are too complicated. It's a religion, and religion does not allow for complexity. It has a false view of human nature and human psychology. It has a false view of the state. It lies about history. And it lies about the ALF. Now, it wants to limit our tactics to something called education and maybe legislation and nothing else. I want to expand our tactics. Open up this war to any and all tactics that work. That doesn't mean we go out there with guns blazing and hand grenades. It means we do it by any means necessary and we act intelligently. So my method for deciding which tactics are the best is threefold. Number one, it's pragmatic. That means I'm more concerned with what works than principles. And what works, not purity, moral purity. The moral high ground is great. I'd love if we could win this war with education and nonviolence. I would love it, but we can't. And I gotta ask these pacifists all the time, what's more important to you, your principles or the animals? Your nonviolent bullshit or animal liberation? Okay, so number one, my tactics are dictated by what's pragmatic, by what works for the animals, not highfalutin moral principles. Second, my method is contextualist. Anytime we need to free an animal, any campaign we have, they're all different situations. They're different campaigns. They're in different regions of the world. There are different laws or lack of laws. There are different forces at work, different possibility. And we look at each situation as a unique situation. The only rule is there are no rules. Nobody knows what works. There's no formula for what works. So in some situations, a protest will be adequate. In other situations, it's good to pick up the phone and make a threat. Yeah, hi, I'm your friendly animal rights activist. And if you don't stop breeding puppies in your backyard, I promise you I will kick your ass. That may work. Or we have to break into a laboratory. That may be what is necessary. Every situation is unique. Figure out what works best in that situation. And don't use violence, don't use destruction if you don't have to. But if you have to, damn it, use it. Now, finally, my tactic is pluralist. That means, to quote Malcolm X, by any means necessary. Again, that means all tactics are on the table, nothing is taken off. And if that means that a guy who is killing cats in a neighborhood needs a lesson with the help of a baseball bat, then he's gonna get the lesson with the help of a baseball bat. So we have to face a very grim truth. What the animal rights and environmental movements are doing so far is not working. The environmental movement is 40 years old. The modern animal rights movement is 40 years old. Animal protectionism goes back to the early 19th century, 200 years old. And in 200 years or in 40 years, we are losing ground. This century is the time of reckoning. This is the time, by the end of this century, believe me, this life, this planet will be uninhabitable. The United Nations says by 2050, it will be unrecognizable. So in this current context of total war against life, actions that some people think are reasonable and moderate are just unreasonable and immoderate. Actions that people think are radical and extreme are simply necessary. And as I said, these questions are not easy. There is a dialectic, a circle of violence and nonviolence. They are not opposites. No more than night and day are opposites. Sometimes it takes violence to bring nonviolence. Sometimes it takes war to stop war. And also nonviolence perpetuates violence by tolerating it, by believing it will go away through education or legislation, by not doing enough. And if we continue on this path where pacifism remains an entrenched dogma of these movements, by the year 2050, let's say, people will look back on activists today and they will be able to conclude truthfully that pacifists were complicit in violence. Thank you.
There's a good text by Peter Gelderloos called How Nonviolence Protects the State, which ties in well with that talk there by Dr. Stephen Best, who also has written a book which I'm yet to read, but I'll look into it more in the next week and next Monday. Talk about it a bit more. It's called Total Liberation Revolution for the 21st Century. And I'm reading a book at the moment about the beginnings of the Animal Liberation Front in America. And that's why I thought I'd play that today. Dr. Stephen Best talking about the paralysis of pacifism. It's 5 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is Autonomous Action Radio, The Anarchy Show, and a final community announcement. Tomorrow night at 69 Thomas Street, West End, at 7 o'clock, the Brisbane Solidarity Network are hosting a discussion on film night on the nuts and bolts of anti-authoritarian organizing. What is consensus? Consensus is a process for group decision making, and it's a democratic method by which the whole group of people can come to an agreement. And consensus is one of the fundamental tenets of anarchism. So if you're interested in anarchism, get along to that. It's actually, it says 5 and then it says 7. So maybe, I don't know, take a pick, go in the middle. I think more towards 7 is a more reasonable amount. I don't know, obviously they couldn't reach consensus on what time to have the meeting. So they've gone with both times. We're going to hear a song now to go out by The Coup. This is called Ghetto Manifesto. Thanks for listening.
I've been trying to get into this little house party, but you know they ain't playing nothing that I can feel. You know what I mean? They playing a little something in there, but I don't know. I might leave it.
My lyrics on parking tickets and summons to the code. I scribbled this on an application for county support. I practice this like a spoke. Met Donald Trump and he froze up. Standing on his Bentley yelling, pimps down, hoes up. Some trying to front off, break our ass a clump off. We gon' stop the world, make y'all motherfuckers jump off. This is my resume / resignation. A ransom note with proposed legislation. A fevered ultimatum, you should take it verbatim. Cause I got 2 banging pieces and you don't wanna date them. Flying kites for my folks at home who taking tokes alone. We paying rent on shit they don't even supposed to own. Narrating through my verse, agitating you to curse. There's a million motherfuckers just waiting on the first, anticipating on the worst, wanna waiting up your purse. Shut the jobby job down at noon and don't disperse. They wouldn't pay you as far as they could throw you. They think you're plunking, but they don't know you. This a turf operetta, play with 12 shot Berettas by the Burger King workers who be slapping on your letters. Wrote that in the back of those apartments on coupons from agricultural department. When we put down the XO, we could let the threats go and start shit. Here's the ghetto manifesto.
This one talking about, make me scream, shout. East, west, north, south. Turn this party out, hey. That's what I'm talking about. Make me scream, shout. East, west, north, south.
Of my legs, but my ass don't sing. Got a house arrest anklet, but it don't bling bling. Got a homie with a cell, but that shit don't ring. But at lights out, bars clinging, souls get sane. Now what's the hustler soundtrack where they muscle around blacks? Make your thoughts heavy, drop a jewel and make the ground crack. Even renowned hack historians have found that the people only bound back when they pound back. So I take out a spray can and paste the pavement, deface engravements of the suffering nascent. The fouls are flagrant and that's the fragrance. I overheard them asking vagrants for patience. So check the liner notes. I steal my finer quotes from D-boys trying to fold them bougies in designer boats. And party liner jokes and all kind of folks who kind of broke but bought 20s cause they feeling like a minor smoke. The trees we got lifted by made our feet dangle. So when I say burn, what I mean the star spangle. Let's all get high from the income angle. Bump this at the party even if it ain't the single. Here's a slum serenade on razor blades and grenades by the nannies and the maids who be polishing the sway. You could let the sets flow, but let's make the sets grow into brigades with the ghetto manifesto.
This one talking about, make me scream, shout. East, west, north, south. Turn this party out, hey. That's what I'm talking about. Make me scream, shout. East, west, north, south.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Z Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.